When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts in the mind of a cartoonist. And another update from the road, as it were, although I am in the studio as I record this, but another update on what I've been up to rather than an essay. And it's not my first choice to not do an essay, but I want to keep the updates going, despite my crazy schedule right now, as we lead into KRC. And the other reason that I think that it might be worth sharing what I've been up to and what I've been working on with KRC is not to bemoan the amount of work that I'm doing right now or the amount of stress that I'm under, but more of an opening up of the process of creating an event like KRC for those of you who have expressed interest in starting up comics events in your town. Now, I've talked about this before. We've talked about this on Art and Story proper. This idea of starting up local events in order to advocate for your craft and to propel yourself as into a resource for your community, to help raise your stature as a local cartoonist worth talking to and worth supporting. But I get questions from people of, you know, how do you get it going? How do you get some momentum behind it? And, you know, I've said before, just briefly, I'll reprise or revisit this idea, is that part of it comes out of staying power, being reliable, investing into your community through a bunch of small events to build a sense of trust between you and community partners so that you can, so when you start to propose more and more ambitious things and more longer term things, they'll actually take, you know. Somebody posted a comment on the Art and Story. I think it was Steve Harpster actually posted a comment on the Art and Story website on one of my recent Thunder Punches about how I was able to do the Comics Are Great podcast at the Ann Arbor District Library because I had a track record. I proved to them that I can do this, I'm good at this, and that if I propose something to them, I'm not gonna flake out on them. I'm not gonna bail. You know, so part of it is that you can't just walk in to a library or a comic shop without any kind of relationship whatsoever and just propose something big and ambitious and expect them to just instantly sign on. I've already talked about this in the past. So now let's look at it from the standpoint of once you got something going, what is it going to take to make these things happen? KRC, kidsreadcomics.org, has been evolving over the last 3 years, and it's going to continue to evolve. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about this, about how every year we always do about 30% of what I wanted to do for the event. And I don't share publicly all the things that I want to do with the events that I'm associated with. Not out of any kind of trade secret kind of thing, but more to do with I just don't want to promise something that I can't deliver. So I keep my big blue sky dreams under my hat when I'm in the planning phase, and then when the thing is completed, nobody sees the disappointment on my face of the things that I didn't get to do. But when I say disappointment, it's a mild disappointment because I know that there's always going to be another event that I can try those things on. So these things have to grow. Events have to start somewhere and then build out. And where that somewhere where you start is sort of the DNA of the event, the germ of the event from which all extra features and extra cool, ambitious things will grow out of, right? So you have to have a sense of having a sense of a good start, right? And having a clear vision statement, mission statement. What do you want to do with this thing? And when KRC started, it really began as basically a comics convention with workshops and programming. That was where it began. That was the ethos of the thing. A comics convention where you can go and meet creators, all people who make works that are accessible and good for young and the young at heart to enjoy. But then also, the spirit of the thing is let's all get our hands dirty making comics together, and that'll make us all better comics readers. It'll make us appreciate comics more. It'll make everybody more excited about the medium itself, right? Then year two comes around, we turn it into a two-day event. We were in a bigger library, and that presented all sorts of challenges. Now we had to come up with 2 days worth of programming, And for the second year, what we decided to do was basically, and this was a deliberate choice, we had Saturday and Sunday, essentially the same programming was run on both days. Some details changed, some times changed, and I think there was a few different workshops between the 2 days. But the idea was, or the thinking was at the time, that what if somebody can only come Saturday? What if somebody can only come Sunday? Then if they missed out on something really awesome on Saturday, they're going to be bummed out. So let's try to replicate the events for both Saturday and Sunday. Now comes the year 2011, and we're getting ready for a new KRC and new ambitious ideas yet again, where I proposed this idea that let's abandon the idea of the convention altogether. And that was sort of agreed upon by all of the KRC organizers after the year 2010, the 2010 show, rather. We decided that let's try to move even further away from the idea of a convention, and let's look at this thing as a celebration. And I took that and ran with it and said, well, if we're going to do a celebration, let's think of it as a festival, like Oktoberfest. Anybody who's ever been to any Oktoberfest anywhere, you know, we have them in the United States too. It's like a big outdoor festival with tents, and there's no one entry point to the show. Like, we have Oktoberfest here in Michigan in Frankenmuth every year, and it's a big deal in Frankenmuth, big German town. And you can drive into town, park anywhere you want, and just wander around the town and enjoy the festival. You don't have to go to, like, here's the registration booth. Like, when you go to a comic convention, for those who haven't been to a comics convention, it's in a big gray building usually. There's, like, one door to go in, or one area of doors to go in. You have to go into the registration booth, pay to get in, and get your ticket and get your badge, and then you can go into the place and enjoy it. A festival, on the other hand, is a big open outdoor experience where people are just encouraged to wander. And because of that, we had to specifically design events happening all over the town at different times. A sense of simultaneity, a sense of there's all this stuff happening at once, but also in a sense, in a way to guide the people through the town. I know I've talked about this before in other podcasts, but let me just explain my design thinking, the thinking that went into the design process, and put it that way. We got two artist alleys. We got one at the Chelsea District Library, one down by this area called the Clock Tower Commons on the north end of downtown Chelsea. It's about, I'm going to say, 3/4 of a mile apart, maybe a 1/2 mile apart. I think they're actually not that far. In between, we have the downtown area, all these merchant areas. And so the question arose, if we're going to have two artist alleys, if we're going to have a teen one and a youth one, and really there's not that much of a distinction between the two. It's just that the idea was to create like a sense of branding for an area for teens to feel like this is our area. Because we gotten a lot of responses from teens in the past saying, the kids read comics, I'm a teen, I'm cool, I don't need the baby stuff, right? So that branding was more or less of a way to make the teens feel comfortable about being there, even though the artists who are in the teen artist alley would be just as appropriate to a youth artist alley. Okay, so it's really nothing more than a branding decision. But now that we got two artist alleys, how do we get people to know about them? How do we get people to go back and forth between them? If we could have somebody just standing in the artist alley and each of them saying, hey, there's more stuff on the other end of town. Well, that's all well and good, but how we, you know, that's only a certain percentage of the people who are attending are necessarily going to go to the other end of town. They might just see what they see there and go, good enough, I'm going home. So the idea is you have to create some kind of spectacle, some kind of events to make people go, ooh, what's that over there? That looks neat. Oh, what's that over there? That looks neat. And then you're guiding them. And if you arrange them, if you schedule them at just the right times, when this one ends, there's another one going on across the street. What's that over there? I'm going to go follow and see what's going on over there. So there's things for people to watch. These have to be spectacles, meaning low risk, not very in-depth events. And that's where this idea of, if you've been to the kidsreadcomics.org website, you could look at the programming page of these things called the quick draw. So the quick draw is two cartoonists stand up there with flip charts. They put on an improvisational drawing exercise where they take input from the audience. Actually, I got videos on the Comics Are Great site. If you go to youtube.com/user/comicsaregreat, I think. I just go to my YouTube page. It's linked on the Comics Are Great website in the sidebar. I have videos showing how this works. You take some input from the audience, like, hey, what, name some of your favorite things. Name some things that are cool. Oh, I like dinosaurs. Oh, I like archaeologists. Oh, I like laser guns. Okay, you combine those things into a funny drawing together. So it's like you're handing off, the language I use in these events is, I'm handing off my hand to your brain, right? So it's empowering the audience to participate in a creative exercise without actually being challenged to draw. And that's something people can stand around and watch and have a few chuckles and then move on, right? That's not a workshop, that's an event. So a huge challenge came out of figuring out what merchants in town would cooperate with this kind of event, who would let an artist take over part of their place and draw a crowd for the store, and then figure out, okay, how can I time these events so that, okay, New Chelsea Market, there's one happening there, there's one happening at the Teddy Bear Factory, there's one happening over at the Treehouse, there's one happening at Jet's Pizza. How can I arrange the timing so that geographically it makes sense, so that they move in the proper direction between the two locations, both a forward motion and a backward motion? Oh my gosh, that was challenging. Then there's another layer to this. Two artist alleys, 44 different people coming to table at this thing. I have to figure out who goes in which artist alley. How can I fit the number of tables we got under the tents that we have? Because we only have so many tents and they're only of a certain size. So that presented another challenge. And then figuring out which artists from each artist alley can be at which live drawing events in the town, so I'm not pulling them too far away from their artist alley for too long of a time, right? So if I have a quick draw happening right next to the Chelsea District Library where the youth artist alley is, am I going to be pulling people from the teen artist alley, make them walk half a mile to go do a 15-minute quick draw event and then walk all the way back to their artist alley? That's kind of mean. So there was a lot to handle in this. Then here's another layer to this. When you look at a traditional comics convention, it's held in a single building. Okay, so you've got 2-3 programming rooms where you're going to have a panel discussion, maybe a movie showing, maybe even a workshop, God willing. And then you got an artist alley. And maybe you'll have like a retailer area where you can buy t-shirts or back issues of comics or some toys or something like that. But there's really, organizationally speaking, not as much to really deal with there. Even when I did the KRC extravaganza back in March at the Ann Arbor Arts Center, we were only really dealing with one building for everything to take place in. Not that difficult to arrange. But now I'm dealing with a whole town. I'm dealing with 4 to 5 different merchant locations, 2 different artist alleys, different tent areas where events are going to be happening on these different, nearby the different artist alleys. There's a lot to deal with here. And now when strangers are coming into town, because we got people coming from LA, New York City, New Jersey, Minnesota, people are coming from all over the country to be at this thing. They don't know Chelsea that well. Even some of the KRC organizers themselves who live, you know, an hour to an hour and a half away from Chelsea, they don't know the town that well. So now I have to create a manual. I just today finished, I don't mean to sound so breathless about this. It's just that I've been running on all cylinders lately, guys. I had to create a manual for the organizers. Here are the events happening, and here's what we have to do to facilitate each of these events. So, okay, 2:00, we got a workshop happening. Okay, Dan and Edith, you're going to show up 15 minutes early to make sure that all the workshop materials are in place and that the artist has everything they need to run the workshop. That kind of thing. And then also giving maps to all the organizers who aren't familiar with the town. This is where you need to go at this time. So I had to create a spreadsheet showing the sort of a visualization of the timeline of events, with the color-coded pieces of where they fall in it, plus a sort of a script form of 4:30, Dan Mishkin, this is what you need to be doing. Edith Burney, this is what you have to be doing. Dan Merritt, this is what you have to be doing. I had to create 2 different versions of that for the organizers themselves. And then I had to create a manual for the guests, introducing them to the town. Here's where you need to go. Here's where you set up. This is the area to familiarize yourself with the area. Here's the table layout. This is where you're going to be seated. This is where your table is. Here's how you do the programming. We've got one event. We got events happening at the River Gallery. I got to talk about that in a second. Concurrently with the events at KRC, you know, Brandon Dayton's going to do a live drawing event at the River Gallery at a certain hour of the day. And I had to explain what the live drawing event is versus what a quick draw event is versus what a workshop is going to look like and who is responsible for what and where and who can you call on if you don't have the materials you need, right? So I had to get, you know, put my phone number across this thing. Call me if there's any problems. Boy, I'm going to be losing my mind on Saturday, June 18th. Anyway, so on top of all this organization that needs to be done, I have to finalize the program, the printed program that we're going to be handing out to guests at this thing. Let's talk about materials that need to be ordered. I had to order banners, vinyl banners. I had to design them because I'm the graphic designer as well as the programming director for this thing. I had to design the banners that we're going to hang around the town. We got a huge banner that I need to take a picture of. It's on a street corner in Chelsea and notifying the town that this event is coming up. Had to order stickers for the attendees. So instead of attendees getting a badge like at a normal convention, we're going to use a sticker versus badge method where all attendees get a sticker that has the KRC Dino on it, just yelling the word comics. And all of the guests, all of the artists are going to have hang tag badges. Why? Well, because we need to be able to identify them from a good distance for lunches, because we are providing lunch for all of the artists who are guesting at our show. So not only is it a free show, free to the public, not only is it free to table at this thing, but we even feed our artists at this thing. That's another layer of organization that had to be put in place. So, but in order to make sure that our volunteers, because we actually have a fleet of volunteers who are helping out with this event, in order to make sure that they give food to the right people, we had to have some kind of differentiator, right? Because not everybody's going to know. Not every volunteer knows who these people are. So, okay, now we say to the volunteers, if they got a hang tag, if they got a lanyard with a hang tag on it, give them food. So I had to design those and order those. I had to order all of the program booklets, the covers, and I'm actually going to order the interiors from Kinko's here in town and then assemble them myself. The website design, I had to do all that. Oh, what other materials did I have to order for this thing? Coloring pages to hand out, free comic books to hand out, because we got Kids Read Comics editions of The Origin of Jared, which I've been handing out at all of the Kids Read Comics Super Fun Tour workshops. So I had to order those, design those. So I hope I'm painting a picture of the mammoth amount of work that goes into this thing. This is why the month of May and this much of June, I don't get to draw much for myself at all. It's entirely, my full-time job has become Kids Read Comics. And so then there's the River Gallery exhibit. So you guys probably heard me talk about this, is that at the River Gallery, right across the street from the Chelsea District Library, as part of my artist in residency, I curated a show of comics art. And in my discussions with the gallery, we decided, well, it just makes sense to tie this event, this exhibition, in with Kids Read Comics proper, because after all, a lot of the participating artists in this exhibition are going to be at Kids Read Comics, so we can have our opening reception during the event, and then a lot of those artists will just be in town. You know, like Dave Roman and Raina Telgemeier, they live in New York City. Casey Van Heist, New Jersey. Brandon Dayton lives in Oregon. Oregon? No, he lives in Colorado, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. So, you know, this is a rare opportunity where they're all going to be in one place. It just makes sense to have the opening reception on the night of KRC. But that's a whole other layer of organization that isn't actually part of KRC, is I have to organize all of these artist visits at the River Gallery. Okay, from 1 to 1:30, Janie Ho is going to be there. From 2:30 to 3, Casey Van Heist is going to be there to do these little live drawing events and meet and greets with people who want to come in and look at the exhibition. So that's a whole nother, it's not as simple as just entering it into a spreadsheet. This also requires a lot of emails. I have to email the River Gallery to say, okay, here's when these people are going to be there. I have to email my contact at the Chelsea District Library, who is distinct from Edith Burney. It's not Edith Burney, it's a different librarian who is sort of in charge of my artist in residency, to get her on the same page. I had to contract a musician who happens to be my brother this time, thank goodness. He's going to be doing the music, so I got to do coordinating with him, get contracts signed, and get him to have a meeting to come in and look at the space so we can see what kind of setup he needs to do to play his music there. And that's on top of all of the other emails that I'm doing with the KRC organizers to make sure that this event happens. Now, before anybody says, geez, Jerz, you're making it sound like you're doing it all, I'm not. Edith Burney is handling the budget. She's handling a lot of the youth events. She ordered a climbing wall for kids to climb on during the event. There's a whole separate teen area in the depot. There's like a train depot in town where we'll be holding a lot of teen events. Edith's handling all that. Dan Mishkin is writing all of our press releases. He's our copy editor. He's also our liaison to all the guests. He sends out all the emails to the guests. And Dan Merritt and his wife Katie Merritt do a lot of on the ground stuff during the event. They're facilitating a lot of these things. We're going to have some artist signings. We're going to be selling certain artist books at the Green Brain Comics table. So everybody's doing their part. I'm just showing that just even in a team of four, each one of us is doing a ton of stuff to make this thing happen. So what I'm trying to paint here is, again, not trying to bemoan my fate, but more to illustrate that there's an incredible amount of work that goes into making these things happen. And this is why you can't go into an arrangement with a community partner with a light heart about it. You have to really have a vision for what this thing is going to be and be prepared to make really difficult choices in order to make these ambitious things come to fruition. And when you're in a lot of the deliberation that happens in these kinds of meetings is you have to go back to what's your vision statement, what's your original intent, what was the big idea that made this thing come about in the first place, right? So this is very similar to something I talked about in storytelling, the one sentence character description, summarizing your character in one sentence. And why do you do that? Because when you're writing the story and you're trying to decide what scenes to write and what kind of interactions to play out between your characters, you go back and measure the reaction that you just wrote to the original one sentence description. And if it doesn't meet up with that, well, then it's time to rethink the scene. I've told the story before. There was a scene in the front. It was in chapter 3 where Thirsty and Knox discover Rex, the dad character, reveals to Thirsty and Knox what the real scope and magnitude of the threat that faces them, what it is, how dangerous their situation really is and what it ties into. And Thirsty, you know, he kind of rubs his forehead and says, oh, can you mind if I go get a burger while I process this? And Rex says, sure. And they go out. And I wrote this whole scene where Thirsty and Knox are sort of complaining about, I didn't ask for this. This wasn't the life I chose. I wanted to do this or that. And when I looked at that scene, I looked at the one sentence character descriptions of the two characters and realized this wasn't a natural discussion. This was an exposition scene that was just sort of pushed in there, rammed in there to really emphasize the character's turmoil. These two boys wouldn't talk like that. And if I didn't have that one character description, I wouldn't have been able to know to cut that scene out altogether. And it's similar when designing events, because if you have a vision statement, if you have a mission statement, what is it you're trying to do here? When somebody comes in and says, hey, maybe we should have a fireworks display, or maybe we should have NASCAR cars parade through the town, or, you know, even, you know, let's get a sponsorship from the Marines and have Marines show up and you can have a ride in a Hummer. Then you can ask, what's this got to do with comics? What's this got to do with advocating for comics and advocating for libraries as a place where people can get comics? Now you've got something. Now you got something that you can figure out what stays and what goes, so that the show, the event, doesn't morph into something you didn't intend, right? So two observations today. One is it's a lot of work, and you really got to care about it, just like comics. You really got to love it in order to do it, not because you're not going to make any money off of it, but because it's an incredible amount of work that you just don't... I think it's more work than when I was working a day job. I'll put it that way. When I was a corporate graphic designer and I had my own office and I was making good money for the time and for my age, I wasn't working a tenth as hard as I'm working now that I'm working for myself and now that I'm working in this advocacy world. So you got to be prepared for that. You got to be prepared. You have to have a real commitment in order to endure the amount of stress and struggle that it takes to make something happen. But again, why do you do it? Because it's worth doing. Because it's awesome. Because we stand ready to put on a show that's going to make a lot of people happy. And who can argue with that? Who wouldn't work hard for that? Right? There's nothing to complain about, nothing whatsoever. But I thought it'd be worth sharing just a few detailed items of what goes into making this thing happen. And maybe I'll have more to share in some upcoming Thunder Punches, because I'm going to try to get a few more cranked out before KRC. And with nothing else on my mind right now beyond KRC, I'm probably going to talk about that quite a bit. So anyway, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. I hope to see some of you guys at Kids Read Comics. You'll know me when you see me. I'll be the stressed out guy wearing the gray shirt and jeans and with an earbud in my ear, because I'm going to be on the phone acting as mission control for this event. So I won't actually be stationary very much. You'll just see me running back and forth around the town, making sure that everybody has what they need in order to make this event everything it can be. So, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today, I want to talk to you about courage. Now, courage not only means being brave in the face of danger, it also means having the strength to say no when your friends are trying to talk you into doing something you know is wrong. In short, courage means having principles and sticking to them, no matter what. See you all again soon.